long today, but I want to try to just get across a very simple thought and give you some time to digest. Before we kind of jump right into the message, I do want to point out that what we're going to do is on every Wednesday evening for the next couple months, we're going to follow up the messages we have on Sunday with our study on Wednesday night. So you'll have a chance to discuss. So like last week, remember we showed you the different pictures and maybe some stereotypes that we commonly have. It was really kind of interesting. Then on Wednesday night, we got to have some discussion about the way we view people and how we try to see, we need to see people for who they are and reach out and love them. So what you'll see is there's about, I think there's five copies or six copies of this book, and you guys are, anybody who would like to have one can take one. We're not going to work through them in order, but you'll notice that there's about eight or nine different areas that deal with the dignity and the sanctity of life. And so this week we are looking at human trafficking, and then on Wednesday night we're going to have discussion about human trafficking. And in the book, what's really cool is that at the end of every chapter, there's like actionable items. So if there's a way you want to make a difference, like if you're listening and the Lord really touches your heart and you're like, I think this is something I need to get more involved in, then at the end of that chapter, there's all kinds of resources about ways for you to reach out and connect. Also, our church is going to be connecting with different things as well. When we talk about poverty, we're going to kind of connect you with the servant's heart. We talk about refugees, we're going to connect you with Exodus refugee here in Indianapolis. When we talk about the unborn, we're going to connect you with our pregnancy care clinic. We talk about prison ministry and jail ministry. I'm going to kind of give you some information about Kairos and Alpha, things like that. So there's different opportunities. I don't want you, listen up, I don't want you to get overloaded and guilt-ridden about like trying to save the whole world. Because over the next few weeks, you're going to get hit hard with a lot of different things, and some of them may, multiple things may move you emotionally. You may be like, I got to do this, and I got to do that. And that is not my intent to burden you down like that. What I want to do is expose you to different things and that you can be in prayer about, and then the Lord will plug you into the place that you need to be, okay? And so again, if you want to take one of these home with you today, feel free to do that. And if you come on out Wednesday night, 6:30, we'll have dinner together, and at 7 o'clock, then this Wednesday, we're going to talk more about human trafficking. Wendy and I have a really good friend who's doing a ministry along these lines, and we'll share a little bit about her information too. But just want to make you aware of those things. Let's look together in the book of Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 4 to start off with. Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at our Lord's words in Luke chapter 4, and actually he's quoting a passage from Isaiah 61. But Luke chapter 4, let's look in verse 17 through 19. And the word of God says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah, if you would. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's our focus today. And verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The day to start us off, I want to see if we can get it to work. Diane and I always know how we have our fun with our media stuff sometimes. But we're going to try to get a story to you about a boy. His name is Kumar, and he is from India. And I want you to kind of see if we can digest this story a little bit, and then after the video, we'll talk a little bit about it on the other side. So we'll see if we can get this to show.
You're working 14, 18-hour days with very little sleep, no freedom, dignity is taken away from them. And that's something nobody should have to endure. We had a number of years ago, two of the bonded laborers escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, sir, there is a bonded labor case. And almost always the response was, there is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?
How much?
30.
Yeah, I'm free.
We
cheer up. Can you, there's a girl who's very afraid. Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery. Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out. IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct a rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused. There is bonded labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he would say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker, to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
IJM is International Justice Mission. I don't know if you could you read those last stats. They said there's 45 million people still in slavery, and one of four of them is in India. Now, definitely we have responsibility to help people around the world, but lest you think this is just a problem in another foreign country, I want to give you a few stats about here in the United States. It has to deal with human you guys know, I don't know if you know this, there are different kinds of trafficking. Okay, some trafficking is like this. It's like a bonded labor. It's like slavery, where you're paying off a debt. But the most common trafficking that we'll talk a little bit about today is actually sex trafficking, where little girls are taken away, or they're runaways or fosters, and then they are sold to be sex slaves, to be prostitutes in other places, in other countries. Well, here's a few stats for you to consider this morning. The average age of children enslaved in the commercial sex industry in the United States is what? It is 13. The average age of children enslaved in commercial sex industry in the United States, this is not in India, or this is not in Russia, this is not in Brazil, in the U.S., the average age is 13. Look at this next stat. The human trafficking black market generates between $5 to $9 billion every year in the U.S. Again, this is not in China. This is not in South Korea. This is here in our country. Trafficking generates between $5 to $9 billion here in our country. This is our problem. This is not just a problem from a faraway place. Maybe another one here. It's estimated there are 100,000 women and children each year who are entrapped in the commercial sex industry. That's in the United States. That's not everybody together. That's here in our country. These are girls and moms who have been caught up and trapped into this. If you guys come on Wednesday night, I'll try to give you a little more about a story of a girl named Lacey, and you can kind of see how that these people, these ladies especially, and girls get targeted by these traffickers. They are very manipulative. Their ways are very crafty, and then they will, in a sense almost, they will kidnap these girls and put them in a place where they can't come out of the situation. A few other stats to think about. The trafficking industry is a $150 billion industry worldwide. So we said 5 to 9 here. $150 billion in the buying and selling of people. Trafficking degrades and destroys human lives that are made in the image of God. And we talked about this last week, right? That was where we started, and that's where we're going to end, is that you need to see people as built in the image of God. And as you see them like that, then you'll love them like you should, and you'll treat them like you should, and you will be compassionate and have mercy like you should. I like this quote. It says, trafficking turns people into commodities, objects to be bought and sold and discarded. What we should do is love people and use things. I've said this a lot before, right? Love people and use things. And a lot of times, how do we find ourselves? We find ourselves using people because we love things. And that's what's happening in this type of setting. So here's this kind of question. So like, what in the world does the scripture have to do with trafficking, right? I mean, does the Bible speak to this? Are there any people in the Bible like that? Well, you might recognize a few stories. You remember a guy by the name of Joseph? What happened to Joseph? Do you remember? He had these great dreams. He had these wonderful brothers. And he told his wonderful dreams that they were going to bow down to him. And his brothers didn't care for that too much, did they? Do you remember what they did to him? He had that coat of many colors, right? So the first thing they were going to do, they were actually going to kill him and leave him to die. Well, they didn't do that. So then they put his body down a pit. But instead of leaving him there, there was a caravan that came through. And what did they do to their brother? They sold him as a slave into slavery. All right. So the scriptures are not unfamiliar with this idea of human trafficking. Okay. In the New Testament, there's a little girl, you'll remember, that she has a demon in her, and she's able to predict the future. And there are some men who capitalize on that, right? They will basically say, come and pay us some money, and this little girl will tell you your future. Well, Paul and Silas, or I think it's Paul and Silas, Paul and his group of guys come through preaching the gospel. They encounter this young girl. They cast the demon out of this young girl, which is an amazing, wonderful thing. She's no longer possessed. But now what's the problem? She's of no worth to her owners, is she, right? She's not doing what she was doing. And so now they are ready to discard her, and they want Paul and Silas, I think it's Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas, to be kicked out of town, to be be beaten out, right? Again, trafficking. People being abused and misused for profit by other people. Does that happen here in Indianapolis? You better believe it does. One of the highest times of the year for trafficking, do you know when it is? It's the Super Bowl. Isn't that ridiculous? All those people that come in is a time where they will, underground black market, they will trade little young lives and sell and trade those things for men who are greedy to satisfy themselves. This is a problem, people, in our own country, okay? Now, I don't want you to not think that we shouldn't be a part of doing things hopefully around the world, but I want you to get out of the mindset like that this isn't just something that's happening in a faraway place. This happens here, okay? So the question then becomes, well, kind of what is our response? Well, I want you to look at a passage, and it's going to be very simple this morning, but I want you to see one of the clear truths that Jesus shares about the gospel and about himself, and then I want you to see if maybe it will kind of give us some ideas of what our response might be. And so again, as we go through these different things today and on Wednesday night, if you come through and you're like really moved by this, and you're like, Pastor Travis, I really want to know more about this. I want to be a part of this, that I want to help connect you to people who can help you make a difference in this area, because it is a real problem where we live and breathe. Let's look back again in Luke chapter 4 in verse 16 this time, and I'm going to read NIV here, and I want you to get a picture of what's going on. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. The word of God says, and he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, that's what it says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, look what he did. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And look what he says in verse 21. He began saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see what's going on here? All right? So Isaiah, 700 and some years before Jesus was ever born, Isaiah writes down these words. And it's one of what we call the servant songs in the book of Isaiah. All the rabbis and any of the studied Pharisees and Sadducees would have said that these servant songs refer to the Messiah. So if you went to synagogue as a little boy, you would have grown up knowing that this is speaking about the Messiah, the Christ who is to come. The word Christ actually means Messiah, okay, the anointed one. And so Jesus, as his custom seems to be, he would go to synagogue. And this is at the beginning of his ministry. He walks into the synagogue on this Sabbath day, and he speaks. And notice again what he says. He walks up to the scroll. No books like we have, right? He unrolls the scroll, and he begins to read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then that's all Jesus does. He rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the person he gave to him, and then he goes and he sits down. Now, in current lingo, we would call that a mic drop. Right? Jesus has just said one of the most amazing things is what he has just said when he says in verse 21, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He is telling these people in this synagogue, he's saying to them, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. As he said to the Samaritan woman at the well, I am he. He said, telling them, I am the Messiah, the one you've been looking for all this time. Whoa. And you can see now why that Luke says, and all the eyes were fastened on him, right? Everybody's like, what is he going to say? What is he going to do next? Now, what I want you to look at here just briefly this morning a little bit is, what did Jesus say that was going to be happening? Again, he's letting them know he is Messiah, he is the Son of God, and he's going to bring about these things through his, as we would say, his life and his death and his resurrection. Again, they don't know of those last two things yet, but Jesus is going to bring about these things to all the people that hear the gospel. And the first thing is, yes, he's going to bring out good news for the poor. He's going to bring freedom for the prisoner. He's going to bring sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and he's proclaiming the Lord's favor. Now, I would tell you today, I challenge you, I believe these things are a great picture of salvation. They are at the heart of the gospel. So let's look at those again just a second here. Now, Jesus says the poor will always be with you. So how is his coming good news for the poor? Well, Jesus definitely would help the poor in his day, wouldn't he? Right? We would see that he would feed 5,000, he would feed 4,000. Those were just counts of men at a time. People that were having diseases and things like that, who maybe the woman who had the issue of blood, and she had used all her money. She went to all the doctors she could. She was out of money. She touched the hem of his garment. What happened to her? She was healed, right? Okay. So Jesus definitely was good news for the poor in a very literal sense. But also what I wanted you to catch today is he's good news for the spiritually poor. Right? Who would be spiritually poor without Jesus? Everybody here, right? Everybody in his day, the same thing. They would be spiritually poor without the Lord. And because of the gospel, those of us who are poor and who are hell-bound because of the wrath of God on our sin, we are rich through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when he speaks that word right there, he's saying, I am announcing today that my coming is good news for the poor. He's freedom for the prisoner, right? You guys remember Paul and Silas in the jail Wednesday night, Wendy did this with little Leah. They did that lesson, right? Through the power of God, that's got to be one of the most amazing things. The guys are singing. They've been beaten almost to death. They're in this dungy old prison, and then they start singing praises to the Lord. Middle of the night, the whole place shakes. Their shackles come free. Very literally, the prisoners come out. Right? But again, spiritually, how many of us, before we came into Christ, were in some sort of prison? Yeah? Right? Prison to our guilt, prison to our shame. Maybe we were prison to addiction. Maybe we were prison to a really bad relationship. We were in different kinds of prisons, weren't we? Prison to our own arrogance and our own pride. That was one of mine that I really had to battle, right? When you come to Christ, he sets the prisoner free. And what I want you, can't wait, I hope you get an opportunity to hear from Bob. If not, I'll try to share some of these things that he loves to say. But he'll always say, you can be more free on the inside than some guys are on the outside because of the power of the gospel. Again, sight for the blind, right? Did Jesus open any eyes so they could see? Could you imagine? Again, we talked to you last week. You remember about that young man who was playing for USC? He was a long snapper. He's blind, and he's hiking the ball in a college football game. I still can't get over that. But could you imagine if Jesus walked down on the field like he actually did in his day and said, young man, I'm going to open your eyes. You're going to be able to see again. Again, Jesus literally did these things, okay? But spiritually, did he do the same thing? Right? What did you sing this morning? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see, right? John Newton says, this is the gospel. Jesus transformed me. I could not see anything but my own selfishness, and he opened my eyes to purpose and to heaven and to hope. Amen, right? I want you to get that picture. There is a very much a literal truth to this, but it's also very much a spiritual truth. And then the one we want to see here today is that there's freedom for the oppressed. There's a lot of kinds of oppression today, isn't there, right? And I want you to get that, and I don't want you to become necessarily overwhelmed in it. I want you to see what the Lord would have you to do, but there's just so many different kinds of oppression. We're going to look at a lot of them over the next few weeks. The one we have before us today is this truth that around the world and even our own country, people are sold into slavery. Or they're taken into situations where they are manipulated so they cannot get out of those situations, right? You guys, you might remember the story where Jesus is at Simon's house and they're having conversation, and this lady comes walking in the house, and she has long hair, and she's just weeping, she's just crying. And Simon's really uncomfortable. Why is that? Because everybody in the place knew that she was a prostitute. I don't know her story. I don't know if she was sold into that or she found herself in a spot so desperate that she said, I've got to make a way for my kids. It's the only way I can see it. I don't know if there was somebody who manipulated her. But she came in and she comes crying and she breaks this alabaster jar, right? And the whole room is filled with the smell of the perfume, and she pours it on Jesus' feet, and she washes his feet with her hair. Remember that story? And Jesus basically says, to him who loves little, whom is forgiven little, they love little, and to him who is forgiven much, they love much. Right? Jesus had set this woman free from her oppression. Right? Just one more little quick story. Do you remember the little lady who, she was caught in adultery with a man? The Pharisees go and they drag her out of the house. What's the law say? They even test Jesus, right? What's the law say? They're wanting Jesus to say, she should be stoned, or we're going to stone her now so that everybody will see her as an example. And Jesus gets down in the sand, remember that? And he starts writing things in the sand, and nobody knows what he wrote. That's one of the first things everybody's going to ask when they get to heaven. Jesus, what did you write in the sand? And as he kept writing, what happened? Do you remember what happened? All those people of influence and the holy and the righteous people who were ready to stone that woman because of her sin, they all started walking away until there was just the girl and Jesus. And what did he tell her? She had been forgiven, but he said, go and sin no more. Amen? Jesus is in the business of freeing the oppressed. And you would say, well, that's good. He's Jesus. Here's what I'm going to put on you today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. You guys, there's this really interesting idea, and there's the picture is the kingdom of God. And I want you to tell you today that it is present now and it is to come. Both of those things are true. Anybody here ready to go to heaven someday? I definitely am, right? Looking forward to that. That's going to be a glorious day. That is the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you that even now, the kingdom of God is at work, right? We're even taught to pray that way. Lord, please bring your kingdom now. Bring it on earth just like it is in heaven. And part of kingdom bringing is doing exactly what Jesus was doing when he came. Are you hearing me today? And so what our prayer needs to be is, Lord, what is my part in bringing the kingdom where I live? What do I need to do to help bring your kingdom to earth like it is in heaven? And I'm just going to be really frank with you guys today, and you've heard me say this a lot. I feel so good to be going back into jail. When I was, I took a year off so I could kind of focus on Isaiah, my son. He was going to graduate, and I wanted to spend some time with him. But when I'm in that place, my gifts are being used like they're supposed to be, and I'm helping the people I need to be, and I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. I probably don't need to be in the nursing home, and I may not even need to be at Servant's Heart. I probably don't necessarily need to be working at the pregnancy care clinics. Now, I can help support those things, and I can pray for those things, and if I have an opportunity, I might do a thing or two, but I need to be where God has put me to do what he wants me to do. You following me, tracking with me today? And so the thing I want you to do is that same thing. Maybe God just has it for you to take care of your spouse at your home because they're in a really difficult spot. Praise the Lord for godly men and women who will be faithful to their spouse and take care of them. My dad yesterday told me of a friend. We had just come back from fishing, and this guy pulled up in this van, and my dad hollered at him out over the way. And come to find out, in the back of the van, his wife was in a wheelchair. And she had been this way for 20 years. And this man, every day, he takes her out, he picks her up, he takes her outside and does things with her, he feeds her, he cares for her, he honors the commitment that he made when he got married. That's the gospel. That man doesn't need to be guilted to go into prison because I'm going into prison ministry. You know what I'm saying? He's doing what the Lord would have him to do. Today, what I'm wanting you to figure out over the next couple months, you're going to hear a lot of different things. And if you are being impressed by the Lord, I want you to see where do you need to be maybe more involved than you are, and how can you care for the poor? How can you help the prisoner find freedom? How can you give sight to the spiritually blind? And how can you give freedom for the oppressed? And so today I'm giving you a clear example of people here in our country who are oppressed. And what's going to be your part in helping them out? Part of our role as Christians is that we not only look to the kingdom that's to come, but we help bring the kingdom here. And now the Lord calls us to help bring about justice where and when we can on this earth and through his power. Let me give you a simple verse. I hope it's familiar to you. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah the prophet writes, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God, to seek justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly. Does that sound familiar to anyone? You seen that anywhere? Well, like at the car show, I saw that on somewhere. Anybody remember seeing that? Where was that at? That's on the back of everybody's t-shirt. So if you're a staff person at one of our events, whether it's VBS or Summer Blast or Car Show, and you got one of those crazy t-shirts on the back of it, that's what it says. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly. You've been sharing the gospel and you didn't even know it, right? No, I know you know it, right? This is such a clear picture of what God would have us to do. We need to seek justice. We need to act in justice. We need to live in a way that promotes justice. One way we can do this to seek justice is to fight for the dignity of all people. And one injustice we can fight against, of course, today is trafficking. So really, to kind of wrap up today, I want us to think about this idea. How can we help women and children who are the oppressed, who need freedom, like Kumar needs freedom, right? Did you guys find that video so powerful at the end where they go in? It's almost like they're the rescue team, right? Like, we've been studying this. We've got undercover video. We've got all of our documents in place. We've talked to the city government so that we're going to go in and we're going to redeem these 15 people out of this situation. What a powerful thing. And so his life, that could have been so differently because these people took a risk. Because they went in, Kumar now is going to be a social worker and he's going to help carry on this, helping people out of that situation. Because they were willing to engage in this injustice. That is so powerful to me. So what can you do today? Maybe you're saying, well, I don't think I'm going to go do undercover video and I'm not really sure how the Lord's going to use this. Well, here's some things for you to think about. All right, let me give you some very practical things to think about. The first thing that we all can do, and this is for all of us, we can pray for justice and protection, right? As you become aware of some of these things, you can put this on your prayer list, on your prayer items, and we can do this from time to time at church to remind you about these kind of things. Are you praying for those who are suffering because of human trafficking? Maybe that needs to be a part of our heart. The second thing, what I challenge you with today, and this is where we really want you to focus, I hope you take this with you more than just this moment, but pray for what you might do to be a difference maker for those in this situation. It is so amazing when we ask the Lord to open our eyes what to do. What does he usually do? He helps us see, doesn't he? Right? All of a sudden there'll be an opportunity you didn't even know was coming around the corner. Boom. There it is. Because you ask, right? Today I'm going to challenge you. Right now I'm challenging you. Pray, Lord, what can I do to be a difference maker for this type of injustice? The third thing today, and this is something that we're doing just a little bit here, but I want to encourage you, if you find this interesting, the Lord prompts your heart at all, there are so many more things that you can do to learn about trafficking and what's going on. So this International Justice Mission, they do the fourth Sunday of September, they encourage people to have a whole day about trafficking in their churches. And that video that I pulled was from their website. So if you would like to find more information about how they're working around the world for fighting against this problem, you can learn more about that from International Justice Mission. Also, and my wife does this really well, do you guys do podcasts at all? Anybody know what a podcast is? Right? Those of you that have Apple phones, I'm sorry, first of all, but I have Apple phone too, right? There's a little purple icon. And if you get that little purple icon, you can search for all kinds of these little, basically little radio broadcasts. And Focus on the Family actually has one of those radio broadcasts, and it will update either weekly or bi-weekly. Sometimes some of them update daily, depending on how much content they have. And you can learn about different things, okay? Well, Focus on the Family actually has broadcasts on human trafficking. So if you're interested in learning more about that, we can do that. I think we may even look at one of these a little bit on Wednesday night. Another good site that was shared is called sharedhope.org, and that's where this story about this young girl, an American girl named Lacey, who finds her freedom. You can find out about that from them. And then I want to tell you one more thing that I thought you might be surprised that this is so close. Have any of you been to the Freedom Center in Cincinnati? Nobody here, right? Okay. When you go to Cincinnati, you're not looking for the Freedom Center, you're looking for the Reds game, right? Maybe you're looking for the zoo. I don't know what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for, not Jungle Gyms, right? IKEA. Well, you can go to IKEA up north now. I can't do that anymore, okay? All that to say, Wendy and I got to go a couple years ago. We went to the Freedom Center. And Freedom Center basically is about slavery. And so you walk in, and it's very interesting, and it's kind of very humbling. Some of it's almost a little bit dark, because you see what was done to some people. You see an actual, basically a slave home where slaves were stored. You see like an auction block. You see people's names and the money that's associated with their name, like how much they were worth as a slave. And that's pretty eye-opening. But what I wasn't expecting, as you work your way through this place, at the very end, you go through a trafficking museum. And you begin to see how that slavery is still going on today, and that when they said 45 million people are still in slavery, but it's a hidden slavery, well, here in this museum, it really opens your eyes to all the things that are going on even now. So I'd encourage you to improve your knowledge of these things so that that will help you too. Now let me say something else here, and this is a little bit off topic, you may think, but I don't think it really is at all, especially with the sex trafficking being so rampant as it is, and especially here in the States. If you will fight against pornography, you will be fighting against trafficking. Can you hear me today? If you will stand against pornography, you will be taking a stand against trafficking. Because what does pornography do? It feeds that desire to do inappropriate things, especially with 13-year-old was the average age. How horrible that is to think that in our country that this is going on. So as men, as women, as our church, we want to take a stand even against pornography. When we stand for what is right and pursue what is right, it has so many positive implications. See what you might want to do as part of aftercare. This is very interesting, and this is where I'd like to see if somebody has a high interest in this, that you bring this back to our church and see how maybe as a church we can help in this. You saw in Kumar's video, remember what happened? Remember he's on the bicycle at that picture, and he comes, and she says, after this, they helped him through his healing. Did you catch that? In other words, they didn't just go set them free and say, well, go at it, you're free, right? When you've been in bondage like this for so long, you need some time to heal, and you definitely need some direction to make your way out of this. It's not just one. It's not just enough to say, well, you're free, here you go. They need to be cared for. And what we're finding is that some churches are really having some interesting ways of providing aftercare for people who are in these situations, and especially for the kids. A lot of the kids, one of the ways that you can help them out is to help out through fostering. Because what they're finding is that the kids that are high targets for this trafficking are kids who are in a difficult situation. Like you remember in Kumar's story, his mom had abandoned him and his dad had passed away. So he was an orphan. He was responsible for his parents' debts is what happened in his setting, okay? In our own culture, we find, like, runaways, and we find foster kids, that they're the ones that a lot of times end up in these kind of situations. And how horrible is it that someone who's already in such a bad spot then gets taken advantage of, right? Lord, help us that we can do something part of that. So I would encourage you to consider what your part might be in all those things. All right, let's close this up with a verse, and then we'll have prayer here together this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Again, look what the prophet says. Similar to Micah, similar to what Jesus said. Learn to do right and seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. Do you see how the gospel is tied to justice, right? We want to be that. This morning, what I want to challenge you is, what is your role in these things? This week, when you look at yourself, remember that you're made in God's image, and when you look at other people, remember that they too are created in the likeness of God. And so my challenge is the same, and it's going to be the same challenge for the next few weeks. I want you to look to see Christ in everyone you meet. And this week it might be looking for a little girl who is in trafficking. It might be looking for a woman, a widowed woman who is in trafficking. It might be looking for a boy who's been put in some sort of trafficking, okay? We want to open our eyes to see the people around us and love them like we would love our own family, love our own kids. All right, let's stand this morning. And what I'm going to do this morning very simply is that I'm going to go and play at the piano here in just a little bit. And while I do that, I want you to have a heart of prayer today. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray for your own heart and ask the Lord, Lord, what is my role in this? Lord, do I need to learn more about this? Do I need to be more involved in this? Do I need to bring this information back to our church? Lord, what is my part in helping set justice here? And then as you pray that as well, the other thing I'd have you to do today is to pray for those people who are already in this setting, this situation. So many people that are still suffering, and they don't have to be suffering. And so would you say a prayer even for them today? So let's take a moment here to pray together, and I'll play, and then after that we'll be dismissed here in just a minute.